What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live on The Fan. It is August 18th, 2025. Danny's in our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard, and I am at Northwest Stadium where the field looks immaculate. The stadium looks ready for football back in Landover, Maryland for Pigskin for the first time in 8 months. Tonight, Danny, bit of a dress rehearsal under the lights for the Commanders against the Cincinnati Bengals. This will be the closest thing to legitimate, authentic football we get in August. This is the tune-up for the Commanders.
It's as good as we're going to get, as you said, my friend. A number of starters or regular key contributors are not playing, which probably leads me to believe that we're not going to see as much of Daniels as maybe I want, and certainly not as much as you want. But, you know, that's the key. This is going to be our one shot to see him. No Laremy Tunsil. Brandon Coleman, obviously no Sam Cosmi for the indefinite. So I can't imagine they trot him out there for multiple series or into this, you know, late into the second quarter, et cetera. I could be surprised by it, but they'll probably play it cautious without a lot of his guys up front.
Well, that's actually really interesting. How do you play this? Because it did seem like they were going to play him, and they will, right? He's going to play, I would think, at least a series, maybe a couple of series. But to your point, no Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. No Brandon Coleman at left guard, so how seriously do you want to make it? You know, how much run do you want to get him behind a left side of the offensive line that could be Chris Paul at left guard and Andrew Wiley at left tackle? If he needs the work and you feel like you got to get him out there, then maybe they'll do it anyway. But I would think because of the offensive line situation, we could hedge a little bit to say less is more for Daniels tonight. And I don't have a big problem with that. In a perfect world, I want to see Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. I want to see Brandon Coleman at left guard. And if you've got your allotted offensive line in front of him, now let's go play a quarter and a half of football. But I don't think you got to get cute here behind some backups on the offensive line either. I think you can be reasonable. Break a sweat. Go have a drive. Put together 10, 12 plays if you can. If it's a quick three and out or you only run five or six plays, I think you could get him out there for a second drive and maybe coach it up to help get the ball out of his hand pretty quickly. I don't need anything long developing in the pocket, 5 and 7 steps down the field, and then you get him on the sideline to cut up with his teammates for a couple hours.
I'm with you. And I'd even, you know, obviously it's not a great bit of reinforcement, but I trust my second-year player. I would say, hey, today, don't stand in there and take that shot to the chops like you did against Cincinnati in Cincinnati in primetime. We're not doing that today. We're not doing the reach out the football, dive for a first down. It's not a toughness contest. And if there ain't nothing there, get rid of that football. I do not want him touched. I don't need him touched. I don't need him hit at all. Nothing to prove in that regard. I mean, it's in a little bit. If there was a starting offensive line, I'd feel a little bit better about it. But I would go the extra mile to Jaden Daniels to say earlier is better. If you got to throw a YOLO ball down there on a third and long, treat it as an arm punt. I don't care. I just don't want you taking any shots here tonight.
To that point, by the way, I said on Friday show, I think it was, we were talking about positives with this team, areas where we feel really good. I do believe by the end of the year, the offensive line could be a strength. And I think, Danny, this could be the best group they've had up front in a bunch of years. But right now, this moment, as Brandon Coleman's dealing with an injury and hasn't practiced in 2 weeks at guard, Sam Cosmi's not back yet, is not going to play tonight, obviously, and shouldn't be expected to play at the beginning of the year. I'm still counting on like a week 4 return. Maybe he starts the year on PUP. This is not what I'm hearing. This is what I'm speculating. They're actually saying otherwise. Right now, publicly, the last we heard was that they think he could be back for the start of the season. I just think that's a little bit unrealistic. But both your guards right now are unavailable. Mm-hmm. And then Tunsil, who's been in and out, and they know what he is. Tonight's interesting that he's not playing. Again, if you have Daniels out there, if Tunsil's available, I would play him. He's not going to be out there. So that means 3 backups. But Allegretti at right guard will be fine in replacing Sam Cosmi to start the season. But that's a Pro Bowl talent you're without. Coleman, I think, is going to be ready to start the year. You still have a few weeks, but this thing's lingering now. So the O-line, as high as I am on it this year, kind of long-term, I am a little bit nervous right now, this moment, to tonight against the Bengals, yeah, or just getting things started against the Giants, maybe the best pass rushing group you're going to face on your schedule twice this season. It's not like they're going to hit the ground sprinting, I don't think.
Yeah, hello, Abdul Carter. I'm with you. The on paper, when it all is together, gelled, etc., it looks very good. As you said, it looks like it's going to be one of the best offensive lines this org has had in some time, top to bottom. Hasn't happened yet, though, right? I mean, you remember some of the reports, whether it was different days in training camp, the burgundy versus gold inter-squad game, the defensive line dominated that day. And again, it's not everybody's not 100%. I fully understand that. I'm aware of all the information. All I'm saying is, though, if it's going to happen, it hasn't happened yet. Like, I would feel better if this was, hey, these guys are kicking the defensive front's butt at this point, and they can't touch the quarterback, and hasn't been a play where the quarterback's had to leave the pocket, or whatever. Maybe not realistic, but simply saying, I'd feel a little bit better about it. I'm with you in the sense that on paper, this is a really good group. See Tunsil, see Connerly, and how bright the future is there. But it hasn't happened yet. And that's the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, and we're not going to see a big step in terms of putting my mind at ease tonight, as you mentioned, with three backups at a minimum going, at least for the starters.
Yeah, it's just a different line completely when you're talking about left to right, Wiley, Chris Paul, Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti, and a rookie in Josh Connerly, than when you've got a Pro Bowler in Sam Cosmi at right guard, a guy that I think will eventually play in a Pro Bowl at left guard in Brandon Coleman, and the player that you just made your biggest splash acquisition of the entire offseason, spent a lot on, and will extend eventually, in my opinion. And Laremy Tunsil is one of the best tackles in football. Otherwise, tonight, in terms of players who will not go in this, the closest to a dress rehearsal we're going to get, defensively, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's been dealing with injury, a veteran, did not play, coach's decision for Bobby Wagner, linebacker, and Von Miller off the edge. Jordan McGee, who they think is going to help a lot defensively this year, is hurt again. And then Jonathan Jones, the veteran in the secondary, who they're trying to get to 100%. I mean, what stands out to me there, first things first, Wagner and Miller, you don't need to play those guys. It's not like the defense is as reliant on continuity together as the offense. You want to be able to communicate and get everybody on the same page, but Von Miller's a hired heat-seeking missile this year that's going to come in on passing downs and try to close like a big league ninth-inning arm. Bobby Wagner, when the lights turn on, he'll be fine shouting commands, getting everybody to do the things they need to do pre-snap. The Jordan McGee one, man. Like, he was the story in the first few days of camp. Remember, we heard they're going to move Frankie Louvu down to the edge, and he's going to rush a lot, and they're going to need this extra linebacker. Jordan McGee's supposed to be that guy. Last year, more often than not, he didn't prove available. And we're in that situation again here in camp. Hopefully, he can get right and get on the field. But this continues to linger now, and this has kind of been almost the entirety of his career that it's promising. When he plays, he looks the part. It looks like they got a steal in the fifth round, but they just can't get him on the grass.
Yeah, we've done this before, right, where the promise of somebody is so exciting and so tantalizing, and you can't wait to see it, and you never get to, right? I mean, then Redskins and now stupid name have had plenty of these guys throughout their history, whether it was Bryce Love, the running back that was going to be a game changer from Stanford, or, you know, a million other dudes that you just never get to see. I don't know. I'm hoping this is just one of those precautionary injuries and he's just nicked up and eventually he'll. But at this point, GP, talking about McGee, it just seems like his own team can't get right. Whether it's his fault or not, I have no idea. It probably isn't. But so I'm bummed about that. This is going to be a great chance, I think, for him to get some minutes. In terms of Wagner and Miller, I think you said it. To me, if you're a gold jacket guy that's in, you know, your mid to upper 30s, that's fine. Play, don't play, whatever. I kind of throw Ertz into that group as well. Where I don't necessarily need to see Zach Ertz, a guy that's been oft injured, and last year was remarkably healthy, given his recent track record. So I'm okay with those guys not going. Again, would have loved to have seen it, just because, again, there's not much time on the grass for these dudes. But, you know, you trust a little bit that a veteran like Miller and a veteran like Wagner was able to put in their time and get to the point where they need to feel comfortable to be able to give you that full 17.
I'll be shocked, based on the fact that Ertz, the number one receiving target, especially without Terry McLaurin, and the O-line, with the injury problems it has right now, is the depth chart that it looks like at those positions. Daniel's playing slightly surprising to me, but it also tells me we're going to see very little of him. Like, I think it's in and out, and it could even be, you know, 4 or 5 play series, and you saw him this preseason, and now he's on to the regular year. I just saw that the Atlanta Falcons are already shutting down Michael Penix for their upcoming game, so he won't even get a snap as a second-year guy who barely played. He's got three games under his belt. And that is certainly the trend around the NFL. So I just wouldn't count on seeing a whole lot of Jaden Daniels if you were coming to the game tonight. But you will get to see the five car on the track for the first time since the NFC Championship game. I'm actually sitting at the stadium now. Danny is back in the Navy Yard in our Half Street Studios. I got to tell you, Danny, the stadium looks beautiful. They continue to do a lot of work. I don't mean the aesthetics of the outside, like it's still Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
But the field itself is gorgeous. And just walking in, like the paint, the carpet, the things they've done in the areas I walk in, the murals on the walls, it's quite literally a can of paint. I mean, it's the lipstick on the pig. It's what they're able to do, but they keep on shelling out the money. Remember, they dropped $70 million into this thing pretty quickly as an ownership group. And I think if you come here enough, you can tell. It's raining right now. There's no tarp on the field. It's kind of a light rain here at Northwest Stadium. I'll be curious to see if they pull a tarp out. But you got the ESPN crew pushing a lot of their equipment out onto the sideline right now for replay review, tent and whatnot being set up. So we're still far enough out from the game that it's the calm before the storm here. But I'm excited for Monday Night Football to be in town.
This is, you know, you get a national telecast out of this thing, right? I mean, it, you know, it doesn't
count. It's a Joe Buck, Troy Aikman fiasco tonight.
Doesn't count as a primetime game, but it sort of is, right? I mean, there's a reason people are going to be tuning in the first quarter to see perennial MVP candidate Joe Burrow, who is, you know, on God tier at this point in terms of his quarterback acumen with a couple excellent skill guys in his own right, to go up against the new phenom, the new kid on the block, Jaden Daniels, who's looking for a repeat performance of last year, which will hopefully put him into that kind of conversation as well, knocking on the door of that, you know, elite group of four horsemen. But it'll be fun, man. I mean, to me, the first one I was frustrated by because I didn't get to see a lot of the guys I wanted to see, and it was sort of such a lackluster effort. And again, I don't care about a preseason score. Some people do. Some people don't. You know, for the camera, sometimes they might yell about wanting to win the game or execution or this, that, and the other. I just want to see it look professional, and it didn't really to me. It looked like they were overmatched, unprepared, slow, lethargic, couldn't get out of the huddle, the 13 penalties, I think it was. I want to see a cleaner thing tonight just to kind of set my mind at ease and make me think, you know, that my sort of simpleton way of thinking that let's just double check and make sure people aren't reading their press clippings. Let's just make sure everybody's still about the work of football that has to happen for you to have the kind of season you want to have after last year's remarkable run. Counting on remarkable two straight years isn't the smartest way to go about your business with a more difficult schedule this year, a division opponent right out the gate that's desperate as all hell. To me, I'd like to see a couple milestones met where I'll feel a lot better. So I've got a little anxiety going into this game as well, which is strange for a preseason phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't feel that nervousness necessarily. I'm jacked up and excited to see the starters, and I just think the fact that you're going to play more of the 30 guys that didn't play in the last game. We went through a list of about a dozen players that will sit out. But you know, for right around 16, 18 players, this will be the preseason debut. What I get really excited for and enamored with in games like this is the storylines of the young players that get to show out. We saw the story over the weekend about Brian Robinson being on the trade block. Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports suggesting Washington is interested in trading Robinson. Well, how did they get to that point? Why are we here? A lot of it has to do with Jacory Kroski-Merritt, who will have his second opportunity to show his wares tonight. We've seen him, if you're out on the sideline in the media at training camp, if you're one of the lucky fans that got to go to one of the few open practices that there were, you got to look at him. But for everybody else and for the nation, frankly, as you're hearing this name now as this guy that you should draft in the late round in fantasy and all the fantasy podcasts, they're going to get a look at him tonight. I actually think the player I'm happiest for this evening in terms of an opportunity to put something on film, Trey Amos is going to play against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, the Bengals are treating this like a real football game, Danny. And Joe Burrow is going to be throwing to Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers tonight. And Trey Amos is going to be on an island for a couple of series. Sign me up for that. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, that's one of those. You hope the young man's confidence doesn't get burst if he gets put in the blender by one of those two guys, those stars that they have over there lining up opposite each other. A combined, what is it, almost $70 million in cap space between those two outstanding receivers. But, yeah, that's the kind of thing you sign up for, right? This is a great measuring stick moment for Amos and the rest of the secondary, frankly, guys, you know, sort of looking to make their mark against a really, really good offense. The offense wasn't the problem in Cincinnati last year. It was on the other side of the football, which, you know, we'll get to as we kind of talk about this matchup. But, yeah, that's one of those I think we got something. We talked about this a bit last week, things that we're excited about, some of the positives that have gone on. I think they've got a dude in Trey Amos. Now, if he doesn't perform well against Jamar Chase tonight, nobody does. Jamar Chase went for, 1,800 yards and damn near 20 touchdowns last year. So that's not going to be the end-all, be-all, but it's something that I'm really curious to see, something that I'm excited about to go, well, how about right out of the gate here, you get to go up against the best the league has to offer. Right. If you could somehow play Justin Jefferson next week, you'd get the top two and everybody's bored.
If their secondary plays tonight like it has looked in practice, where their corner room is immensely improved and it feels like they just have a much better idea of what they're doing in communication and the ability to play more man on the back end because they just like the matchups better one on one. And you could come out of this Bengals game and feel that way. Then I think you could put in Sharpie. They're in a good place in the corner room. It's a whole different world to just go out and practice against Luke McCaffrey and KJ Osborne and put good tape out there. But when you're running around with this Bengals room, and I do really genuinely believe we'll get to see their starters for a few possessions tonight, probably at least a quarter, I would play Trey Amos for every snap I can. As long as Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are in the game, you're going to go. This is not like a, hey, you'll do two series and get out. When they take their starters out, you come out, because this really is the ultimate opportunity for him to get tested. And, you know, we're going to get a better look at the rest of the corner room as well. I know Jonathan Jones is an example we talked about as one of the guys that is not playing tonight, but Marshawn Lattimore is not listed. You know, this will be a real tell. Finally, we'll get to see him against a legitimate star wide receiver. Does it look different than it did at the end of last season when A.J. Brown and Mike Evans were having their way? I mean, that's not a young guy by any means, but at least a learning opportunity tonight. That's why I really like these preseason games more than a lot of people that roll their eyes about them. I just think it's not going to answer any questions. It's not really going to provide any conclusions, but it gives you context and it gives you some clues on how the season is going to go. Real quick on Brian Robinson, we should address this. So the report yesterday from Fox Sports was that they're shopping him as a show. For some time, you and I have been of the belief that they need to go out and try to do a little better on first and second down. I'm assuming you're not stunned. I certainly wasn't. What does this mean for his future, though, if they can't trade him? Is he on the roster bubble? Is he someone who could be cut? What does the running back room look like if they cut him? Is it, you know, still Eckler clearly on third down, passing downs, two-minute, four-minute? But is that Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's music now, where he's your first and second down back? Is Chris Rodriguez, who's got some Brian Robinson to him and was more effective in a similar role, lesser opportunities last year, does he make the roster? Really, really interested to see what that report truly means. I think they're probably shopping him to try to get a veteran wide receiver in a deal where we'll give you our back that we don't need. You give us your wide receiver that may not make your roster. Because I don't know how much other value there is. This is, to me, it screams late-round pick or like a sixth, seventh rounder a year or two from now for a running back who has averaged right around 4 yards per carry and who Washington's feeling like isn't a necessity to keep, who's got 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, there's very little that I think would come back and trade that would make me want to do a trade. Does that make sense? Like, again, I'm not a Brian Robinson. I mean, as a person, I think he's a great dude. But as a running back, I am not a fan. But he would still be on my team instead of a seventh rounder, because I'll face a third and one. You know what I mean? I'll need a bruising back to come in and do something here and there. But I'm not
Chris
featuring
Rodriguez
that guy.
Could do that.
Maybe he could. Yeah. I guess there'd be a $3 million cap savings, which, you know, for this year, and I'm not sure how badly they need that. But to me, I wouldn't be that excited for almost any reasonable trade proposal. So I will say this, though, the second part, not to take issue with what you said, but I was stunned. I was really surprised at that report, and here's why. Not that I don't think he's good. I don't. I'm out on having him lead the team in carries. I've been very clear about that. But I didn't think they thought that. I thought they were going right back into the season with, it's the Brian Robinson show with a couple other guys to sort of supplement that, and this is the skill set that we value. Again, it wasn't like they went out of their way to address the position. They got a seventh rounder who played one game last year. Now, it turns out they might have found something in Kroski-Merritt, but it wasn't as if this was a priority where they spent any dollars.
They didn't draft Travion Henderson.
Yeah, they didn't spend, in round three, where the kid from Iowa, who I'm blanking on, who Caleb Johnson, they didn't go get that guy. They didn't do anything other than barely lift the absolute minimum of a finger to go, Seventh rounder may or may not make the team. We'll take this guy that played one game last year, not his fault because of eligibility issues. So I thought it was the Brian Robinson show again. And enough has happened over these last several months, apparently, to change their mind. A welcome change for me. I think they've gotten on board with what a lot of us have seen. A guy that, yeah, I know stuff wasn't block great last year, but there's a vision issue, there's a quickness issue, there's a burst issue, whether it was injury or otherwise. I just don't want him leading the team in carries. So I was surprised by that report. But to me, this might mean his roster spot is in jeopardy, GP.
If he's not a starter, I don't really understand what the value would be. Because you're right, short yardage, goal line, he could be effective in those areas. I think Chris Rodriguez could do the exact same thing and is kind of a happy-to-do-it guy who's cheaper. B-Rob, if you remember, at times has bristled when his role has subsided. Mm. He has taken issue with play calling with Eric Bieniemy. He has had games after he didn't get touches during the Rivera era where he was surly or at his locker, didn't want to talk to the media or whatever. I'm not suggesting he's a bad guy. I think he's actually a good guy. But what I'm saying is, how would he handle Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt overtaking him on the depth chart and him just being around as an if necessary, we'll call you when we need you kind of option who may be deactivated at times? The Chris Rodriguez role. I don't know if that's something that he would be that thrilled to do. Now, we've talked about this with Terry McLaurin. You got a job. You're under contract. You got to do it. But is the juice worth the squeeze if he doesn't want to play nice in that regard to have him be that guy if Rodriguez can do it? You look at rushing DVOA, which is a per-play efficiency metric. It bases the intel on down, distance, score, the defense you're playing. It takes a lot into account. And when you look last year, Rodriguez was their best rusher at 34.2% DVOA. Jeremy McNichols was second, 22.7%. And then the guys that got the carries, Eckler, third, 15.3%. Brian Robinson, minus 4.2% last year. Mm. So you had Rodriguez, who graded very well, then McNichols and Eckler, who were both okay, and then you had Robinson in the negatives. I guess for me, if he's not your starter on first and second down, then I'm not sure that I need him on the roster. And it would be nice if you could flip him for a veteran receiver. If you could get a late-round pick, I'm willing to do that. Not surprised, though, necessarily that they're shopping him, because being out at practice, they can't say enough about Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Now, you're putting some eggs in that basket that he can stay healthy, but they've got depth at the position. They like Demetric Felton, who's carried the ball in the NFL. He had their best preseason game out of a running back against the Patriots. I think they do think Chris Rodriguez can handle more of a workload. So we talked about it, man. This is a good running back room. It's not a running back room that has a star. There's not a 1,200-yard back here. It's quantity over quality. But there's a lot of guys that are probably about as good as B-Rob. Well, if that's the case, and he's got 1 year left on his deal, then why wouldn't you see if anybody wants to give you something for him?
Yeah, it's worth going fishing. I mean, again, you never know. The question I have, though, because I can't imagine anybody wanting to pony up anything of significance, is then what? Right? I mean, if somebody is in love and would have taken him, you know, a pick or two after you did in the third round a handful of years ago, by all means, send me a pick, send me a player, send me something. I just can't imagine anybody's all that excited after, you know, what's been on tape over the last several seasons. So to me, the multi-million dollar question then becomes, then what? Right? Is it, to your point, if he's not my starter, what is he? I can just do this cheaper with Chris Rodriguez or something else. Would he not take well to a backup, you know, 100 carry season where he's really just a short yardage guy entering a free agent year? I don't know the answer to that.
More on Brian Robinson coming up in a bit. The other big story over the weekend, and we're going all the way back to Saturday morning, first thing before practice, was Terry McLaurin being taken off of the physically unable to perform list. Was this a mutual decision that suggests McLaurin and his agent Buddy Baker are ready to put down their swords and McLaurin's ready to practice? Or was this just the team hitting a button that it needs to push this thing forward, kind of telling Terry McLaurin what they think he needs to do now? Get into that next. Grant and Danny on game day. I'm out at Northwest Stadium. Danny is in our Half Street studios. Commanders Bengals tonight. It's Monday Night Football. You're listening to The Fan. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
No, I would say, yeah, from the medical side, contract, like, definitely separate. This is about his getting ready to play, which is, you know, like, honestly awesome. And, you know, like, it's just cool, you know, to see him, you know, getting closer, because now you know, like, okay, steps are getting closer to return to being on the field. So he's worked hard, and just like the other guys have, they want to get back out there with the teammates and doing things. So I get that. But we just have a real process. We're not going to miss the steps and put them out there before guys are ready to do their thing in all the different locations. So that's where we're at.
Back live on The Fan, Grant and Danny, ahead of Monday Night Football, the Commanders and the Bengals. Northwest Stadium, the site of the broadcast today. So, Danny, that was Dan Quinn on Saturday morning, just after practice. Saturday, the breaking news came down. The team released it. It was a litany of roster moves, one of which that they listed just kind of tucked in there as if nobody would notice.
In the little roster move sandwich.
Oh, by the way, Terry McLaurin's off the PUP list. And as you can imagine, the reaction in town was massive, and nationally, everybody who covers the league took notice and had opinions immediately. But we still don't really know what this means. You just heard the Dan Quinn cut. We'll play more of them. But he essentially talked about this like it's the continuation of a guy getting healthy. He's just happy that he's one step closer to playing football again, and he'll be out there with his teammates. But there's no acknowledgement of the contract dispute from Dan Quinn, and there is no proof. There's no reporting being done that the sides are getting any closer. So here is the million-dollar question, or I guess as it were, maybe the $33 million a year question. Was this a mutual decision where Terry McLaurin and his agent are taken off the PUP list here because they say that he's ready to practice, and as soon as they're back on the field after this game Wednesday morning, he's going to be working out with his teammates? Or was this just the Commanders on their own telling McLaurin, you're off PUP, you're ready to practice now, you're physically cleared, we've gone through the rehab that you would need for the level of injury that we think you have, and this is the team using its leverage to get him to start practicing? Because if it's that one, Danny, then this only means that this could be an escalation in the dispute, that this could lead to more acrimony. If it's the first one and McLaurin's actually going to start practicing, well, then this is a significant development, and it's very positive, and he's ramping up, and he'll be there against the Giants in week one. But I'm not sure that we know the answer to that question yet.
So I thought it was the latter, and I thought I was, what I want to say, how do I say this the right way? Like, out of step, everybody, it seemed to me, was celebrating this, right? As if to say, oh, the next step is in agreement. The business of football has begun. He'll be on the field in no time. And I read it as they're basically just calling your bluff and saying, okay, enough of this pretending that you're hurt, right? That's how I read it. I read it as still acrimonious and still nothing is resolved. This was just the latest game in kind of the circling that's taking place, you know? So maybe I'm off base here, but just that's what it looked like to me was the org one of the last things that they can do here before it gets really, really nasty and sort of the damage is irrevocably done. Going, okay, we've played along with your charade for a long time that you're hurt, and I'm using air quotes for that, your ankle. And Dan Quinn's been up there talking about his ankle and rehabbing. We all know that's nonsense. Everyone knows that's nonsense, but we've gone along with your pretending. We are now announcing, without announcing it, it is time for you to play football this year. That's what time it is. And when you're not doing that, you're going to have to answer some of the questions. Now, whether they do or don't, or, you know, conduct media interviews, or Buddy Baker's got to get his word out to some of the agents, that's on them. But to me, that's what this is. This was like a game of tennis where the ball just got ripped back into the McLaurin court. Like, okay, we've removed every obstacle. You need to play football this year. because you owe us this year, and it's now what are you going to do, McLaurin? That's how I viewed it.
That's one of the possibilities. That's why I say there are two potential roads that we're driving down here. I just don't think we know yet. So you could be very well be right. That's not how it was necessarily reported, and it's certainly not the conversation or the discourse, mostly from the media over the weekend, where it felt as though this was the start of McLaurin returning to practice. But I don't know that that's what's actually happening. Until McLaurin says something, or until his agent gets the word out, either publicly with his name on it or via, you know, Jeremy Fowler or somebody. For me, I'm in a waiting mode here. The team is saying he can now practice. That's great. He has not been off PUP until Saturday, so he is now physically able to perform. Is he going to perform? That's still the question to me. In fact, Dan Quinn was asked about this, and I want to let people hear what he had to say. So this was the press conference on Saturday. Quinn spoke just after practice, after McLaurin was removed from PUP. Darius, this would be cut two on whether or not McLaurin said he'll work out.
Yeah, that's all part of the PUP of, like, returning to play. Yeah, he's on the same trajectory as everybody else of doing the workouts and making good strides. So that was why the move was made.
There was a yeah in there. Right? I mean, but again, we do this return to play, same as the injured guy. Nothing about this is the same as the injured guys. So I just have to wait until practice. The next time they're on the practice field, Danny, it's going to be a massive story. Does he practice or not? If McLaurin is still in a hoodie, standing on the sideline, talking to Adam Peters and Jaden Daniels with his, you know, the strings pulled down, so he's kind of got the little eyes peeking out through a little hole in his hoodie, then this is no different. In fact, it might be worse because the team is just saying, all right, now we're telling you you're healthy enough to play.
Yeah, when you're missing, it's on you. Right now, where everyone seems to understand each other, we are now saying this year has started. It is time for this year. The future years we're still arguing about, and we should. It's the business of football. This football season has begun, and it's now beginning without you. Because that, to me, is the ultimate escalation.
So that's what you think is happening,
yes,
then?
It is.
You think he will not practice on Wednesday?
That is what I think. I am blaming his agent in this. I think there has been a gross misreading of how this whole thing would go, and I think it's now to the detriment, but I think they're too dug in. This is sort of the thing that I was worried about. So, again, maybe I'm off base, and this is actually everyone understands that he needs to play football to get ready for football so that he can still be himself and we can have a nice season. But that's my fear, is that the trench has been dug too deeply and they can't get out of it.
So I'm going to go opposite you here and say that he does return to practice this week. And my only logic in this is I have no inside information, right? This is sheerly speculative. I don't think they needed to push this button or push these chips in with him being off PUP. It's a choice that you make. And so they are doing one of two things. They're either elevating the dispute, right? They're basically throwing, like, we've had this stare down where we're looking at each other, but nobody's throwing a punch.
Uh-huh.
Two drunks in the stands at a game, and we're just talking. They're kind of throwing the first punch here if they're taking him off PUP. And the game of chicken ends because they're going, all right, your move now. I don't think that's what they did. My guess is they were able to get some type of word from him that he was ready to start practicing because it's time to get ready for the season, and that's why they took him off PUP. But if that's not the case, then this thing's not ending. It's just starting. But I hope I'm right, because, man, would that be disappointing.
Too. Yeah, 100%.
If midweek, going into the final preseason game against Baltimore this weekend, he's not practicing, and we find out now they're actually telling him you've got to practice, and he's publicly saying no.
I wonder why I immediately jumped to that, and it seemed like the majority is on the, oh, this is harmonious. They've come to the understanding. Everybody seemed to run to that. When I say everybody, it's not as if I polled the entire fan base, but just whether it was social media or folks I talked to, etc. They took it as this very positive step, and it may be, even if I'm right, as if to say the team is now announcing it's about this year's business of football. So please show up and play it. So I wonder why I went that way. I was doing some soul searching about that, GP. I couldn't come up with a great reason, but it just didn't. Maybe it's just my sort of slanted angle towards what I feel like has kind of governed this whole process from the agent and the player side, where they're talking about market value and the market, and the team's going, yeah, there's no market. He's under our control for two seasons. So if it was an open market, you'd be right. It isn't one. So here's the offer. Here's nowhere close to what you're talking about. And then, you know, some of the reporting that we've seen, I don't know. I get the sense that this was a, all right, man, here's how we're escalating this thing. Everyone now knows, even though we knew before, officially, your ankle's fine. You're cleared. You want to start filing grievances or start threatening to sit out or whatever. Now you got to explain it.
Danny's in studio. I'm at Northwest Stadium. You're listening to G&D. Coming up at 3 o'clock in about 20 minutes, David Pollack. Remember him from his work on College Game Day for years with ESPN. Excellent college football analyst. Want to set the table for the first week of the college season with him. The fall is looming. Also, at 3:30 today, we will scout the Bengals ahead of tonight's Monday Night Football game with Jay Morrison, who covers the team for SI in Cincinnati. Next, though, what would the Commanders' running back room look like with and without Brian Robinson, who is on the trade block? This is The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. It's Monday Night Football tonight from Northwest Stadium. I am sitting at press level right now getting ready for kickoff, which is still some 5-plus hours away. The Bengals will be playing starters this evening extensively. Cincinnati has become known for starting slower than every other team in the NFL despite being talented, and they vowed to their fan base going into camp this year to conduct themselves differently in August and to start faster. And they played their starters a ton in week one of the preseason. Burrow was 9-for-10. Jamar Chase was working backup corners. And they're going to do the same thing tonight. They're going to take this game seriously. They're going to play at least a quarter, according to their coaching staff, led by their head man, Zach Taylor. But I want to get into the Commanders running back situation, Danny, while we have a few minutes. David Pollack's going to join us to talk college football coming up at 3 o'clock. Make sure you listen for that conversation, because I know he's always very, very good. With this storyline this weekend that Brian Robinson's on the trade block, how do you handle Robinson tonight, I wonder? I had someone tell me, well, there's a good chance they won't play him, because when this was someone from another team, when we're thinking about trading somebody, then we're not going to play him.
Mike Garofolo has this literally moments ago amid speculation about his future with the Commanders. Running back Brian Robinson will not play tonight against the Bengals, sources say. It's a mutual decision between Robinson and the team as a trade before the cut to the 53-man roster remains a possibility.
All right, so huge news. So I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Yep.
Okay, so this tells me a lot, actually. This is not in a place where he's going to be on the roster, likely. That's what I hear there.
That's the conclusion. I see that, and I draw that same thing.
When you say mutual, that means the player doesn't want to play football tonight. Why doesn't Brian Robinson want to play football tonight? Because I don't want to risk an injury in an exhibition game for a team that doesn't want me. So this is in a place, like I had said a couple segments ago, where we talked about it. You said, oh, keep him around as a backup. If he's not a starter, I don't know how interested he is in being here, and I don't know how much they think it's worth having him around when Rodriguez or Felton can do some of that on the back end of the roster. Or, by the way, Jeremy McNichols, who was very impactful at times last year and right now may or not make the team if Robinson does. So I now move this into a whole different discussion. Brian Robinson either gets traded or is likely cut, in my opinion. I think if he was someone who would be on this team if he's not traded, we wouldn't hear that this is mutual. And I'm not dealing with certainty here. I'm just saying this is my takeaway from that breaking news from Mike Garofolo.
Yeah, right? I mean, it stands to reason. So as you're thinking about it, you go, what's the upside in playing tonight? It would be to put something on tape to earn your spot, to get your job back or whatever, right? To prove that you're better than the other guys. The mutual part of this isn't just the time I got dumped and I had to tell people it was mutual to save face. This was everybody's involved in this thing. In other words, hey, we'll give you a chance to win your job back or move up the depth chart. He said, nah. Right? I mean, is that how you read that? I mean, that's what it is to me. That means he's not going to be on this team unless there's something, some variable that I don't quite understand, either by trade or by cut.
Well, look, the team could couch it in a different way, and I'm sure they will post-game. They're not playing Laremy Tunsil tonight because of how important he is. They're not playing Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz because they're known veteran commodities, and they could sell that. But this is not that. If you're looking to trade Brian Robinson, a guy that we all feel like was in need of a season, make-it-break-it style, where he elevates his game to get paid to stay around here, where you kind of know what he is at this point, and it's not what they've been looking for, as evidenced by them drafting a running back and him being the talk of camp and fans being so excited and kind of wish-casting Kroski Merritt into a more significant role. They can suggest whatever they'd like to on the back end of this story coming out that, oh, well, you know, we know what B-Rob is. We want to look at the other guys. If it's mutual, that's the word to me in that report that's so significant from Garofolo. If the team just said they're not playing him, then fine, you know what he is. You don't need to see him. You're either going to trade him or you're going to protect him and he's not going to get hurt. But mutual means Robinson said, if you guys don't love me, I'm not putting my body on the line for you tonight in some way. Maybe he doesn't go to them first, but you're at least willing not to play as a bubble guy at this point. I think that tells you everything you need to know about where this is headed.
It does indeed. Man, I'm so
changes what I was about to talk about with you, which is this running back room with or without him, but I think the conversation's still the same.
Yeah.
To reiterate, if Robinson's on the roster, he should be their first and second down back as far as I'm concerned, because otherwise, I don't know why you keep him. If Kroski Merritt supplants him and is the, I'll use air quotes here, you know, top guy with Eckler in the pass-catching role, then Robinson is no better than Chris Rodriguez in that short yardage capacity, and you're just keeping someone around who has been demoted and might be frustrated and salty about it. What's the point? Get younger, get cheaper. You can keep a Demetri Felton on the practice squad.
We'll get GP back on here in a moment. I heard that little phase out there, so Darius, we'll work on that tech element of it. But to Grant's point, I mean, if this was a video game, it's obviously not, but if it was, you go, yeah, I have an accomplished player that I could just give a lesser role to. But, you know, it's about human beings. I would hope that, you know, for me, I would try to convince him to say, hey, there's still a role for you. I still need some goal line stuff. I need some short yardage stuff. But that's not realistic, right? If you've been a starter who's led the team in carries multiple times over, and now you're demoted to whatever you want to call it, a second string, third string, et cetera. I don't view running back necessarily the same way. I just don't want, I mean, this is where I start this. I don't want him to lead the team in carries. That means on a down-in, down-out basis, I can't do the, you got to feed Brian Robinson the rock. You most certainly do not. You don't need to do that at all. That also doesn't mean, though, that they've got somebody where I'm going to give featured carries to. I think they've got a few guys that would probably stand to be or could thrive in that 10 to 14 range on any given week, GP. And I think GP is back. I just don't see the you know, because there's no bell cow, there's no Derrick Henry, there's no, you know, superhuman Saquon Barkley type guy. There's nobody to me that warrants, I got to feature this guy 20 times, even if early downs he's getting stuffed, we're going to keep hammering him. I think that ship has sailed with Robinson.
Well, I like the room they've put together without him. I mean, they have done a really good job building this thing up because it looks like they hit on Kroski Merritt. So in the case of a seventh-round pick who they feel like is like a third- or fourth-round talent. Let's just say Kroski Merritt was a third-round pick. Because if he played the full season at Arizona, maybe he could have been. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
How much different is this conversation? It's not surprising at all. Robinson is a previous regime's third-rounder who's a singles hitter who has just not shown the ability to hit doubles. And let's add one more factor into this. We have not seen Deebo Samuel at practice, really. Certainly not in preseason games at all. do anything as a running back, as a wide back, as they used to call it in San Francisco. He's almost exclusively played wide receiver. But of course he's going to carry the football as a back. Of course Cliff Kingsbury is going to do some of that Kyle Shanahan stuff with him. How many carries did B-Rob get in a given game? It was a lot of times, what, 14, 15 carries, something like that? And when he's in the game, you shout into a megaphone, this is not a passing situation to the running back. Like, that's Austin Ekeler, right? So you bring him in, it's like 13 for 60, 15 for 65, whatever it is. You're basically looking at 15 carries a game to divvy up. If a few of those go to Debo, we're talking about, what, 10 or 12 carries for Merritt or Rodriguez or both? I just think it's an unnecessary thing to keep him around if you've decided he's not that guy on first and second down. Not surprised by the news and the fact that he's not playing tonight and that it's mutual, I think is very, very telling. He's Danny, I'm Grant, you're listening to The Fan. David Pollack helps get us ready for the college football season, which gets going this week. Soon as we return, it's a Monday Night Football game night on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.